104 at KRWG. It's the Spring Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson from the Doña Ana County Extension Office. It's made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers, and of course, you. Thank you for being part of the KRWG public media family. We have another hour, or, well, 55 minutes anyway, left with Jeff this afternoon, but it's also the final day, so we only have hours left to reach our goal during our spring membership drive. And Edmundo Resendez, because we hit our $300 goal last hour, decided to more than double the goal for this hour.
Well, the overall goal was $1,200, and I figured, you know, let's just split up $300 for the first hour to get people going. And now they've been tuned in for a little bit over an hour. Now it's the time to increase it and get people calling in with their support to KRWG Public Media. 888-922-5794 or give online at krwg.org. Jeff brought up an interesting point while we were off air, and he was talking about how a lot of folks on the weekend go out and about with their garden while listening to KRWG, listening to shows like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, American Roots, This American Life, all the wonderful shows that we've got on the weekend. Think about how they keep you company as you go out and about with your garden, as you go out and about cleaning the house, as you go out and about doing what you enjoy doing. 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, $700, an overall goal of $1,200. And again, hate to throw out more numbers, but we are $5,800 away from reaching our overall goal of $110,000. Keep this in mind. Your contribution today will make you part of KRWG's largest on-air fund drive.
You know, that was the gist of a recent day sponsor's message, who did the dollar a day sponsorship, $365. You get to pick a day then and share a message with KRWG listeners. And there's just a variety of different wonderful messages that people have shared, from celebrating birthdays to adoption anniversaries, to just hanging out, doing work in the yard or the garage and enjoying listening to KRWG Public Media. So thank you for any choice that you make along the way. It's up to you how much you invest and how you do it. KRWG.org. Now let's get back to those questions for Jeff and the Spring Gardening Confidential. Let's go to Robert, who's holding with a question at 575-646-2212. That's the number to call to be part of the Spring Gardening Confidential. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Are you there?
You're okay. Yeah.
I'm coming out of El Paso, Texas. I just have two questions. First of all, right now, for some reason, this year, my lawn's been growing real nice. I've got a lot of roses. First, we planted them 2 years ago. They're beautiful. I'm having problems with cats that go and poop on the yard. And is there anything I can do to put on the grass to get rid of these cats?
Wow, they're defecating in the yard itself?
Yes. I've talked to my neighbors to see if the cat belongs to them or anything, and they say no. And it's weird because they don't have good – right now my grass is getting real green. And I guess they go to where it's humid or something. But, yeah, it's bad. Every day, 3-4 times, I have to go clean out. And apart from that, I personally don't like cats. But, you know, I'm not going to do anything bad for them. I just want to see anything that –
that would repel them. Yeah, yeah, Robert, you're not the only one. We actually had the same question come in from someone else in advance. So, you know, it's something that depending on where you are, there might be a colony of feral cats and, you know, and that happens to a lot of folks. So let's hear what Jeff has to say about it.
You could get a rat terrier. They like to chase cats. Yeah. I've got friends that have those, actually rat terriers, and they go after, chase everything away.
Right.
There are some sprays you can buy. I don't know how effective they are. Some of them contain eggs. Some of them contain lion urine and things like that. But, you know, if you're watering, it can get washed off pretty quick. It's a real problem. I was going to say, if it was in a garden bed, I've been told by people, if you take plastic forks and you put them upright, the cats won't go in there because they have to walk on the forks, and that discourages them.
That looks lovely.
Right. Yeah. Where my rose garden is beautiful. No poop in there. It's just the grass, just in the lawn. That's the only place they'll. And it seems like they like one area only.
Yeah, if you could. Okay. The other thing is water. Water washes it away, but you know, if you had the sprinklers come on when you know the cats are coming through there to get it too wet, they don't always like too much water.
Yeah, they don't like not necessarily like to get sprayed with water, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The bad part for me from everything is the smell. I can go outside and right away I know the cats. But, well, that was one of my questions. The second question was, I'm getting rid of I don't know what type of pine tree is. We planted it about 15 years ago, and it was growing too big, so I wanted to get rid of it and plant something else. And so I cut it. I've cut so many. The bad thing, there's cement around it. Do the roots grow real deep?
Well, it's probably an Afghan pine. The roots, if the soil is free and open and enough water, will grow deep. If it's watered shallowly or if there's too much water, the roots will stay up. But they can get quite large, and the roots do spread out.
I've cut the real thick ones all around it, and I still can't even budge the trunk. So I guess I'm going to have to deep pretty deep, far down.
Yeah, well, one thing you can do is cut it off next to the ground and get a stump grinder and just grind off the top. You don't have to take the whole thing out. But it'll take time for it to rot away, but there's probably quite a mass underneath it.
Okay. All right.
All right, Robert. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Good luck with those kitties.
You.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Have a good day.
Okay.
It is 1:11, and a couple of questions that have come in off air. One from someone who says, I live in the valley. My soil is very hard and dry. What do you recommend I use?
Water, first off. You know, if it's hard and dry, you need water. And once you get some water into it, then you need organic matter. And so the way to break up a heavy soil is adding plenty of organic matter, and you're going to have to work it in every year, depending on what you're going to grow. If you're growing a vegetable garden or a flower garden, if it's a regular yard, you probably only have one chance to work in enough organic matter to break it up. And then if you're growing grass, the roots will help keep that yard open. But it's a combination of water and organic matter.
When you say organic matter, would that the city offers a couple of options? The mulch from the landfill, would that be recommended?
Yes, although there are some big pieces in there, you may have to filter some of that out yourself or regrind it, but that's organic matter as well. Yeah, and it's free.
What about the stuff from the water treatment plant?
That's biosolids. Sometimes it's called compost too, and it's kind of not. It's biosolids. It's from the sewer lines, you know, whatever people flush down the toilet. But it's a great product. It's high in micronutrients, and it's free again, and it's dry, and it's great for your gardens, great for your lawn. But it also has salt in it, so you got to be careful. You don't put too much on at a time because you got to leach the salt out.
All right. We have a caller holding on the line for you, Jeff. It's Mike. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling the Spring Gardening Confidential. How are you?
Oh, doing well. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. My name is Mike, and I have an 8 by raised bed that's 8 feet by 4 feet by 2 feet tall. And currently I'm growing greens in it, arugula, chard, romaine, basil as well. And I recently, about two or three weeks ago, we were getting frost. We had snow recently as well. So I built a hoop house over the raised bed. And now, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm noticing because now we're getting some really great weather, you know, yes, here in the Southwest, it goes from cold to hot pretty quickly. So I need, sounds like seems like I need to transition over to, I'm debating whether I should, I'm keeping the raised bed open, partially because when I leave it closed, it seems to have a negative effect, especially on the romaine. Like it just kind of, it wilts the romaine. So what I'm wondering is that, you know, in this area, I'm thinking of going to shade cloth instead for the remainder of the spring, because it doesn't seem like it really needs to be protected against the frost. If I do go to shade cloth, what color shade cloth should I get?
So, yeah, I wouldn't be covering it for cold protection anymore. I'm pretty sure we're far past any kind of freezes that are going to go on. And basil especially likes to be out in the full sun to get plenty of energy. The lettuces, okay. Eventually, they'll probably start fading away with the heat. And if you keep it covered, it'll kill them flat out. It's just too hot underneath there. So, yeah, going with the shade cloth, it doesn't matter what color, although I prefer a white type. Mainly because it's like a light box. It's going to be bright for the plant, but not as intense as having direct sunlight on some of those plants. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that, and they breathe and allow air to get through and moisture to get through.
Okay. All right. I had heard that Silver City had the last possible day for I'm recently moved here from El Paso. So I had heard that you can get a frost as late as May, mid-May, so I wanted to prepare be prepared for that in case. But I guess it looks like, well, this particular summer, we're not going to go back to colder temperatures anytime soon. So that's why I think I'm just going to go ahead and transition to shade cloth instead.
Yeah, you should do well with that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your call and good luck. It is almost 1:16. It's the Spring Gardening Confidential from KRWG Public Media. And we have an off-air question from June, who says, living just above the dam, what is the most humane way to keep mice out of your yard and garden? Do motion-activated strobe lights or sonic sounds keep wildlife out of your yard? If so, best brand and where to find them.
So those sonic things and that, I've heard that they work temporarily, but then the animals get used to them. So you could try running them for a little while and then not running them so that they're not consistently getting used to them. The most humane way of getting rid of them is, for me, I would just trap them out, because there's a million more where they're coming from, and disposing of them quickly in a trap, I think, is fairly humane. I know people may disagree with me, but I just wouldn't want them in the house or eating wires in my car or doing any of that, so I would trap them out.
All right. Somebody did chime in to say that water plants, we had a question earlier about a water garden, and water plants are sold at Color Your World. So thank you for calling in with that information. And let's see, from Facebook, Jeff, I've heard and would assume your garden is stunning with all the palm trees. I was wondering if you ever give tours of your garden, and what is your favorite type of palm?
So 2015, I think that was right around the last tour of gardens is when my house was on a tour of gardens. So, but I've done tours for the master gardeners. I do have about 1,000 palm trees at my house.
I don't even know.
I do like palms.
You don't have, and that's not on several acres, is it?
No, it's only on a quarter of an acre. I know a lot of people really hate palms, but I got like really miniature palms and some that may take hundreds of years before they ever get big. Favorite palm tree right now, I think it's triple hybrid, which is really interesting. It's a cross between a Boutia, a Jubia, and a Syagrus palm. So it's a queen palm, a Chilean wine palm, and a pindo palm. And so it's really cold hardy, but it looks kind of like a coconut tree, but it's picked up really cold hardy genetics. So you can have a palm tree in your yard that kind of looks like the coconut, and you could pretend you're in South Florida or something.
You could pretend you're Keith Richards and climb on it and have a good old time. Are those sold locally?
No. it would be nice if they brought them in. The closest I've seen them, I've seen them for sale in Tucson, and I've seen them for sale like in Austin and places like that. We're one of the last ones usually to get them in, and I've seen them for sale at Home Depot and Lowe's over in Tucson. So they could be brought in here, and they're kind of becoming one of those like hot type palms to have, just like Yucca rostrata. It's a blue yucca, and they're really hot to have as a landscape item. And so the prices go up when they become really hot items.
Is there a good online source that you would recommend, one that you find to be really reliable and fair and safe for folks that are shopping for plants online?
You know, you just have to look for the plants you want and go trust like Stark Brothers for fruit trees if you can't find it locally and you want a specific variety, or Rain Tree Nursery. I do know that Tucson has a really good source for palm trees over there because they use a lot more than we do here as well. So you can often call the company and talk to them.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
All right. At 1:20, it looks like there are a lot of folks to say thank you to. We are in our final day of our spring membership drive here at KRWG Public Media. So if you appreciate the Spring Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson, and I know you do because you're listening to it and taking notes, then call in and support KRWG Public Media so that we can continue to bring you programming like this. 888-922-5794 is the telephone number to call to make your investment in KRWG Public Media. And Edmundo Resendez, I will bring you on again here to thank all the folks who have participated this afternoon.
And just so you know, I have taken a tour of Jeff's garden and I got lost. Fortunately, Jeff let me do some breadcrumbs and I was able to get out. It's a beautiful garden. Beautiful, beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, got some beautiful people to thank. Anonymous, who says, thanks for all the great shows, especially local news and information like The Gardening Confidential. Friend of KRWG, Melody Burns, great programming. Thank you. Roger Hartley and Catherine Joe Carver from Las Cruces made a contribution. And Kate from San Lorenzo. Where are you listening to us from? Where do you plant your garden? What makes your spring garden grow? Call right now and make a contribution at 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. Or my favorite way to avoid confusion between the pledge line and the call line is to give online at krwg.org. KCF do have some great news. We are $400 away from reaching our goal for this hour. If it is within your means, why not become a member of the Auto Vista Pioneer and give at the $1,000 level or more? That goes a long way in ensuring the future of public media. Call right now or give online at krwg.org. So close to reaching our goal, your contribution of $5 a month does go a long way. It does make a difference. So call right now, give online at krwg.org. You know, Casey, I was talking earlier about how the first hour went by so quick. And I'm sitting here just listening to all the social media questions and the callers who have called in with some great questions.
It's obviously a popular activity, gardening, and became so much more popular, something you just touched on a little bit earlier, over the course of the pandemic. And so many people were stuck at home, and so they wanted to be outside, get some sunshine and some vitamin D, and so started working out in their gardens, and probably to all of the varying degrees of success. And so lots of questions for Jeff, probably from some gardeners who have just started again or even started for the first time. And one of the great things that that I've really grown to love about membership week here at KRWG Public Media is the community volunteers and supporters of KRWG who are here early in the morning during morning edition to help the effort, and with us multiple times throughout the course of the week, you know, morning, noon, and night. And let me tell you, they are just some of the most interesting people that you'll ever meet.
The diversity of our volunteers is really phenomenal. We've had people from that are on city council, people that are own their own businesses. You know, again, call right now, give your support at krwg.org. Give us a call and let us know what's the best tree for our area. Let Jeff know what's successful for you. But right now, give your support. $400 away. Casey, as I mentioned earlier, we're all so close to our overall goal. We're $5,500 away from our overall goal. Wouldn't it be wonderful to make that by 7 o'clock tonight? And if not, go over it. 888-922-5794. krwg.org.
Thank you very much for your support. And let's get back to Jeff Anderson and the Spring Gardening Confidential. The questions are piling up. And if you have a question you'd like to call and ask, 575-646-2212 is the telephone number. And Jeff, you mentioned that you did a little bit of research and had some more information on Back to Eden Gardening.
Yeah, and it's pretty much what I was mentioning. Back to Eden Gardening involves taking all your leaves and any kind of organic matter that you created from clippings and stuff and returning it back to the ground. And it talks about no tilling. And that's kind of what I'm doing in my yard, and what I talked about learning as a child growing up in the forest and just mimicking nature and how that happens. You look at the rainforest, tropical rainforest, like in Brazil. Underneath that rich canopy of tropical forest, there's almost zero soil. It's all like sand, mm-hmm. and people complain about sand, but it's zero. And it's just the organic matter and, of course, a high rainfall, but the organic matter that's there that keeps everything alive. So like they've discovered if you remove that organic matter, things stop.
I kind of expected you would say it was naked gardening, but...
Okay.
I think there is
a day for that.
There is. I think it's in June. There is one day in June. That's it. Just the one day. All right. Yeah. There was another question here off air. The question is it too late now to start evergreen trees?
To start planting them? No. You can plant evergreens all year long if you're getting them in containers. And you know the New Mexico Forestry Service, if you contact them, if you want to put in a bunch of different kinds of evergreen trees, like for a windbreaker or that, you can buy seedlings from them. And remember, everything takes water, so you need to make sure you've got some way of watering them if you're going to put them in. But yeah, you can plant plenty of evergreens still.
And what's the best tree for our area?
You know, after all these years, I've been here 38 years now, and there are so many trees I love. But then there was this tree that came along, and there's actually two of them, kind of. But I've seen one called Red Push. So a Pistacia Red Push. So it's in the pistachio family, like pistachio nut, that family there. And it's used as an understock root for pistachio nuts. And then they discovered that this hybrid pistachio rootstock made a beautiful shade tree. And it really does. I have not seen a shade tree any more drought tolerant than that. I've seen orchards where that is the rootstock in sand and where it's established 20 years later where it hasn't been watered, and they're still thriving.
And that is called a pistachia red push?
Pistache red push.
Okay, gotcha.
I know Color Your World sells them.
We have Antoinette on the line holding with a question for Jeff. Hi, good afternoon, Antoinette. Welcome to the Spring Gardening Confidential.
Hi, thank you. I just tuned in, so hopefully this hasn't been covered yet by other questions, but last spring, I had a tree in my front yard that's been planted there for 15 years, 1-5, and last spring it just didn't, get leaves or anything, and then it has like moss like growing on it. So I thought, you know, maybe this spring it would, but it doesn't seem like it's dead. And I remember hearing last spring this show, and I think he spoke about there was like a virus going around, and they were trying to figure out what it was, and I don't know if they ever did figure it out, if there's any way I can save my tree, because it's huge and I didn't want to lose it.
So I remember last spring, and it's a little bit of a controversy, because I think it's areophid mites. It's a mite causing a problem. I have quite a few people that don't think so. They think it's abiotic stress, that the plant's just stressed. But I've seen plants that were not stressed in beautiful areas. that had the same problem. It could be caused from herbicide damage. You know, any herbicides have been used around it. So all that has to be weeded out. But I've weeded out a lot of them, and I still think it's a very often mite. And how to control it? It's a tiny microscopic mite you can't see, and it causes the new shoots to be all stunted if they even come out. And so we're going to be investigating it again this year.
In the meantime, do I just...
You'd have to contact me for possible treatments because it's too long to talk about on the air.
Okay. And one other question. I have a green apple tree in my backyard, and I've noticed hummingbirds are getting at it, and it's alive still, but it's not doing too great. So I'm assuming there's bugs in there as well, and that's why the hummingbirds are getting at it. But I'm afraid to treat. Excuse me?
Go ahead.
I'm afraid to treat it because I didn't know if it was harmful for the fruit, and we can't eat it because we have a dog in the backyard, and sometimes he'll eat the fruit that falls. And I don't even know how to treat it.
So that's a difficult question. Again, you probably should contact me. But hummingbirds are nectar feeders, so they could feed on the flowers, but most of the flowers should be going pretty quickly here.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean hummingbirds. I meant woodpeckers. I don't know what I was thinking. Woodpeckers, because I can see the holes in the tree.
So woodpeckers, sapsuckers could be going for grubs or borers that are in there, bark beetles. So you may have a problem going on there, and they will kill the tree. So contact me.
Okay.
Jeff, go ahead and give us that phone number and email one more time.
So my phone number is 575-525-6649. And my email address is Lantz, LANTZ, at nmsu.edu.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Antoinette. Good luck with your trees.
Thank you.
575-646-2212. About a half hour left with Jeff in the Spring Gardening Confidential here today, made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers. And a couple more questions that we still haven't gotten to yet that came in even before we began the show today. So let's get to those. Jessie Ann says, any tips on growing non-bearing plum trees planted to last year and they appear dead now?
Tips on growing them, water. Everything seems to go back to water. I did there's an article, I don't have it in front of me. It has to do with landscaping, estimating water needs for Western trees. And a typical purple leaf plum used for landscaping, if it's got a 10-foot by 10-foot crown spread, every time you water it, that's just three times a week, you need 33 gallons. Mm. So that's like 100 gallons of water per week for that tree to survive. So generally, if you're having problems with trees dying, they're not getting enough water. One of the problems is that the tree is grown in a bark mix, and then you put it in your soil, and your soil is totally different. So you can wet up your soil and have that totally saturated with water. But if that bark mix in the original container that the plum grew in or any other tree grew in, it has dried out, it repels water, even though the soil could be wet. So you have to make sure that water's getting into that root ball before the roots can get out. They have to be able to grow out. So there's that transition period of going from the root ball into your native soil. If that root ball is too dry, the tree will die.
All right. And a couple of questions regarding, I think, just growing things in the desert in general. Lorraine says, what plants are easiest to care for in the desert? And Sierra says, what are some plants that require low water? So, of course, everybody wants to plant things that will thrive here. Do you have a few recommendations?
One of the great places to go, and I know it's COVID, but one of the great places to go to see a lot of native desert type plants is the Chihuahuan Desert Botanic Gardens at UTEP. And they have a whole garden of native plants in there that you can see thriving, and you could kind of pick out what you like. And it is open to the public during COVID. I'm not sure how their hours are. But a lot of the quote native plants or very drought tolerant plants, there are plants that come from other deserts around the world that work very well here. And it's just a matter of getting them established and then they have the drought tolerance. I know we have a lot of mesquite that's used around here, or some of the acacias are great plants, but there's plants from Australia, there's plants from the Mediterranean that work equally as well here.
All right. And Martha asks, can succulents withstand harsh New Mexico sun, or do they grow better in shade?
They tend to do better with part shade here, depending on the succulents you're growing. I know hen and chicks, a little bit difficult here. My grandmother grew them in northern Minnesota outside, and they did well up there. And it's a little bit too hot here, but a little bit of part shade. You have to experiment with those succulents and where you put them. Some like a lot more sun, but most of them like a little bit of shade, or they can take the heat, but they can't take the cold, or they can take the cold, but can't take the heat. So that's why you don't see a whole lot of succulents here.
Mm-hmm. 575-646-2212. It's the telephone number to call with your question for Jeff Anderson from the Doñana County Extension Office, Master Gardener. It's the Spring Gardening Confidential, and we are in our final 25 minutes of the show. It has just really flown by, and Lori had this question for you, Jeff. What, in the opinions of the experts, are the best varieties of determinate paste and beefsteak tomatoes? Oh, we got another tomato question here. Lori says, I have cherry tomatoes pretty much covered, but want some, and I'm interested in well-balanced flavor as well as sustainability, suitability in our summers. I plant in irrigated grow bags under 50% shade cloth when it's midsummer, and I'm looking for suggestions besides Roma's if there's something better adapted. Would also welcome any suggestions for varieties of tasty beefsteak type tomatoes that would do well here. And so if you're just joining us, we did talk a lot about tomatoes right at the beginning of the show, but we have actually had a few more tomato questions roll in, including another listener that asked if there are just some basic suggestions you have for somebody who's growing tomatoes for the first time. You know, what are the must-know things?
So if you're growing tomatoes for the first time, you want to pick out a healthy plant. And for us in New Mexico, I usually tell people, if you're going to buy your plants, buy the biggest plants that you can and get them in early, right after the frost. So kind of, you know, Las Cruces, April 1st is the last frost officially, so to speak, but you got to watch out. Buy a big plant, planted deep, because the stem will root, and so you can get more roots besides the roots it came with. The stem will form adventitious roots on it, so you want to bury it deep, take some of the bottom leaves off, bury it a little bit deeper, but you get a big robust plant that's already maybe going into bloom. The reason for that is we get hot really fast, so the bigger plant you have to plant outside initially, the faster you'll get tomatoes before the heat sets in and you get nothing. As for varieties of determinate tomatoes, I'd have to look in the catalog. I don't have any specifically in mind.
All right. We have a couple of callers holding with questions. Let's go to Patrick. Good afternoon, Patrick. Thanks for calling.
I have a blue globe locust, purple globe, whatever it is. It's beautifully flowering. It's about 10 feet tall. It's been in the ground just over 2 years. It's about 2.5 inches at the base in diameter. And there's these vertically oriented cracks in the stem, several inches long, and they're fairly deep. And I'm just wondering what's causing it, and what can we do about that?
So you've got probably a purple robe locust, which is in black locust family there. So those cracks could be just natural growth cracks. I will say that varieties like purple robe locust are very brittle. They split really easy in the wind. So they're a difficult tree to grow around here just because they're very brittle and split.
Is there anything you can do? Because this one crack is pretty long, and it's kind of deep. So the insects probably get in there and start wreaking havoc.
They flower beautifully, but they're not a good tree to be planting around here. There are a lot of maintenance. The thing you have to do is really have an art to pruning the branches to prevent them from splitting. So you have to, you know.
This is the main stem.
Yeah, the main stem can split too, but I suspect that could be just a growth crack. You could send me a picture to my email address, and okay. I can take a look at it and I can tell you.
Okay.
But there's not like a putty you can buy to fill in the crack, right?
There's nothing, no, no.
All right, Lance at NMSU.
Thank you very much.
Lance at NMSU.edu, LANTZ at NMSU.edu, if you want to email Jeff. And we'll put that up on our Facebook page as well for anyone. Thank you very much for your call, by the way. And for anyone who wants to follow up with Jeff later on, we'll have that telephone number and email address there on our Facebook page. You can always go back and refer to that. Our next caller on the line is Fran, holding with a question. Good afternoon. Thanks for calling the Spring Gardening Confidential, Fran.
Hello. I have a question about boxwoods. These boxwoods have been in the ground about 8 years. They've been thriving with just the water from the sprinkler system that came across the grass. I had the grass removed about a year ago and had the watering system rebuilt. So now the boxwoods are all getting, they have two emitters each. And two of them are dying, and all I can think is the water is different. Is it possible that they're getting too much water when they're used to not getting much at all?
So are you in sandy soil, or what kind of soil?
Yeah, sandy. I'm up in the Roadrunner area.
Okay, so, you know, when it was getting water from your grass, it was getting a complete coverage of the roots. You take the grass out, and you put in drips. And with sandy soil especially, you're only getting water from the two drips in two areas. Yeah. And in sand, that water that comes out of the drip goes straight down. It doesn't spread out very much. So
okay.
You have a complete canopy of water going on the roots before, and now it only has two little spots. So a plant can die once you change and change the whole watering system because it wasn't adapted to that. And it's either going to die back severely, or it could die, or it has to somehow adjust to a lot less water than it used to get.
Do you find it strange that only two out of about eight are responding that way and the rest are perfectly healthy?
That happens. It depends on what happened to the roots and where the roots were. And, you know, your drips, are they putting out the same amount of water, or maybe they're putting out less water than the other ones, but I would suggest adding more drips, but you may have to replace them. They probably went into shock and they could die.
So, or do a little hand watering now and then.
Yeah, if they're still alive, you know, water them real well, but you probably going to have to add more drip lines to compensate for the grass not being there.
Okay. All righty. That makes good sense. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Fran, for your call. Bye-bye. And it is 1:42. It's our spring membership drive here at KRWG Public Media. It's the final day of our spring membership drive, and it has been an amazing week, and we have seen so much support from the community around southern New Mexico and southwest New Mexico, and so many of our listeners from El Paso as well that contribute and support KRWG Public Media. So thank you so much. Our development director, Edmundo Resendez, is here with us this afternoon to let us know how things are going. I see the little red mute thing on your mic there, Edmundo. So don't forget to
Thank you, Casey.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, before we have to say that, just a quick update. We are $350 away from reaching our goal for this hour. $350. One day sponsor, $1 a day, will help us surpass our goal for the Gardening Confidential. That's $1 a day. And what you can do is on the day of your choice, pick the day of your choice, and you'll get three messages that will be done on your behalf, whether it's a birthday greeting, a graduation, you decide what you want to announce, and we will do it on the day of your choice. That number again is 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, or give online to krwg.org. Casey, this is a wonderful opportunity to give because the donation today and before the end of the day will help us have a record-breaking fund drive.
Yeah, indeed. And you mentioned the day sponsor. One of my favorites is, it's the math club, right? The
math club, yes. Every year, without fail, they send me a message 6 months in advance to make sure that they've got the day reserved for Pi Day.
That's March 14th, 314. And they said in their message that the perfect time to celebrate Pi would be at 1:59 a.m. and 1:59 p.m. And since I am not a member of the math club, they won't let me in. I didn't know what that referred to. And so I asked you.
Is that the right time?
I said, wouldn't it be 3:14? And so, of course, it took some research, but we discovered that 3.14 and then 159 are the next three numbers of pi. So that's where the 159 came from. But that was a fun adventure to go on.
We can have the mathematics confidential next. 888-922-5794. 888-922-5794. Let's hit our goal for the gardening confidential. This will let us know that you value this program on KRWG because you are tuning in and you find yourself marketing on your calendar to tune in and listen to the show. We've had a lot of wonderful questions. We've got a lot of wonderful questions to get to. But before we do, give your support right now at krwg.org. Again, a day sponsor away or three calls at 120 will help us get to our goal.
All right. We hope to hear from you. The way to become a KRWG public media member at krwg.org or by calling 888-922-5794. But to join us on the Spring Gardening Confidential here in the last 15 minutes of the show, you need to call 575-646-2212. Or if you're following along on Facebook, you can always leave a comment or question for Jeff there on Facebook as well. And we have a couple of more that came in advance of the show. Olga wanted to know how often she should be watering her lawn and trees during the hot summer days.
So lawns and watering. That depends on where you live. If you live in the valley or if you have real sandy soil. And then if you're going by the city ordinances of three times a week, your 3 days. But let's say if you're going by the city's 3 days a week, you should be watering probably around 5 a.m. and 10 p.m. on every one of those 3 days. And then you have to determine how much water you need to apply to have the correct amount in your soil. It's best to water, like sandy soils, it would be best if you could water every day for short intervals to keep the soil moisture consistent. It's just like your tomatoes or your vegetables. Keeping consistent moisture without over or underdoing it is the key answer for watering.
If I have to get up to water at 5 a.m., it's going to be very hard for me to stay up until 10 p.m.
You need an automatic system.
Yes,
I know everybody does have it. So.
That's right. That's right. That always helps. 575-646-2212. Not a lot of time left with Jeff, so call now. I wanted to point out that someone did call in reference to the gentleman who had the problem with the cats in his yard. And he happens to be from a local cat rescue and said that there are ultrasound units you can buy that are humane and work well to keep them out of the yard. So not much more information than that, but look for ultrasound units. And he said that would hopefully help you. So thank you very much for calling. It takes a village, right? And so you can always call with your suggestions, your questions here in the final minutes of the Spring Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson. And we're so glad that you're here with us twice a year, Jeff, offering your expert advice. Braden wanted to know if you had a recommendation for the best soil for flowers this time of year.
Best soil for flowers. So depending on where you live, if you're growing them in the grounds, people complain about sand, but sand is really great because it has really good drainage and all you have to do is add organic matter. If you're growing in clay soil, it's a little more challenging, again, adding organic matter and choosing the right things that will grow in a heavier clay soil. If you're growing in pots, like we mentioned before, using a really good potting soil, you don't have to get the most expensive, but get a good quality potting soil that has some extra nutrition in there. and then perhaps dress it with some Osmocote slow-release fertilizer, follow the directions to keep everything blooming or growing well, whether it's your flowers or vegetables.
Do you get, you must have a lot of bees in your yard?
No, we don't have a lot of bees. And people often talk about bees and the importance of bees, and they're extremely important. And I always mention that honeybees are not native to here. And we only have a few major honeybee producers here. I think there's only three. We need more beekeepers to have more honeybees here. They're native to Europe, but we also have our wild bees. And this year I saw, for whatever reason, I saw more bees working my plants than I've ever seen. But I like bees.
Is there something that you recommend? I mean, some people want bees, some people don't. Certainly folks that are allergic to bee stings would prefer to have something in their yard that can bring them color, but not necessarily the bees. Is there something that you would recommend?
Oh, bees are going to test out almost anything, but tubular flowers are generally more hummingbird pollinated. So you could do that, like Mexican flame vine or a flame bush, rather. There's some other ones. Just easy. I keep thinking of the Latin names, but nobody knows Latin names very well.
That's so right. I had trouble even reading the few that came through here on our off-air questions. For future reference, if you're listening and you have a question that involves a big, long plant name, you should call that question in and not make me try to read it. Okay, thanks.
So tubular flowers generally, but you're still going to get some bees. It's outside. Bees are going to still come in and test things out. So,
yeah.
Generally, you get big clouds of bees on apple trees or plum trees or that kind of stuff. Individual flowers, just small amounts of individual bees will still be around.
What are your recommendations for the very essential tools for a new gardener and somebody who's just starting to pick up gardening as a hobby? What are the things that you need to have on hand?
I think a shovel, definitely a shovel, a good rake, a hula hoe. I prefer the hula or stirrup hoe, a really good pair of pruning shears, and you can choose them, a pair of loppers, and a handsaw. You're going to need those pruning instruments for training your trees or whatever, and your pruning shears for cutting back some of your plants that need to, like cutting off old flower stems and that, and a good rake for picking it all up, and a good wheelbarrow to put it in. And if you could afford it, some way to grind it all up and make your own mulch or just compost it yourself.
And what about varieties of grass for our area? If you're starting a new lawn and want to plant some grass seed or some sod, what would you recommend?
So it depends. There's basically three or four types of grass. Bermuda, so you want to get a good hybrid Bermuda. It used to be Princess 99, but there's a new one out. I can't think of the name right now. It's in the other room. But Princess 99 is still a great seeded Bermuda, or you want to get a sod Bermuda that's a hybrid, so it doesn't produce seed. Then you want either a fine fescue, something like that. That's a evergreen, takes a little more water. There's zoysia, which looks like Bermuda, but hardly grows. It's very slow growing and it stays really short. And then one I really like is St. Augustine grass. It's a more of a tropical, what you see in Florida and Texas, but it's one of the few grasses that will kind of grow into the shade, and it creeps around on its own. But I've seen some beautiful St. Augustine grass yards.
Absolutely. And just a couple of minutes to go for the Spring Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson. So if you are dialing now, great. If you're not dialing yet, then you better make it quick. 575-646-2212 for the Spring Gardening Confidential. Made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers. Thanks for listening and thanks for streaming at krwg.org, which you can do 24/7. And if you're just tuning in and missed the bulk of the program, program today, then you can find it right after we come off the air. We'll just take a few minutes to get that posted for you at krwg.org. You can always click on local radio and Voice of the Public to find episodes of Voice of the Public, including today's Gardening Confidential with Jeff Anderson. Jeff, any final bits of advice, things that we just didn't get around to covering yet that you wanted to be sure that everybody knows about their spring garden?
So the important things I would stress is plants take water. So, you know, choose wisely your shade tree. Don't go on impulse. You know, I really like this tree, and you buy the tree and then you realize, you know, like the cottonwood, it's going to grow fast, get every bug you can imagine, and take 250 gallons of water a day. Buy something like a red push pistache. It may grow a little bit slower, but even if you didn't stop watering it after it's established, it's not going to die. It'll probably stay around beyond your lifetime. So remember your watering. Things need to be fertilized, whether you're doing it organically or not. Make sure you mulch things to conserve water. Mulch is organic. You know, you can use inorganic mulches too, but conserve water in those regards.
And I want to say thanks to Jake Lockwood, our engineer, for reminding me and you that you can watch on Facebook, on the Facebook page, under videos, after we're finished here as well. So that's always an option for you. Lots more ways than ever before to be a part of the KRWG public media family. And Jeff Anderson, you certainly are a member of that family. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today and for spending time with us twice a year. Your expertise is very much appreciated, and we just thank you so much for taking the time out to join us.
Thank you. I really appreciate everything that you do and giving me the opportunity to help people in the community with their questions.
All right. Edmundo Resendez, our development director. I can't believe that here we are already at the end of the show today and at the end of an hour where you set a really high goal for us. So I know there's some more thank yous for the folks who have taken the time to show their support for KRWG during this hour.
888-922-5794 is the number to call in to give your support to KRWG or donate online at krwg.org. What a wonderful show that we've just had. It's such a wonderful show. It's not the kind of show that you will have that you won't find anywhere else. KRWG is able to do this show because we are listener-sponsored radio. I want to thank Liz Vasquez from Las Cruces who renewed her membership. And not to be outdone, her husband called up and renewed his membership to KRWG, Sean Vasquez. So thank you very much, Liz and Sean. Henrietta Vargas from Las Cruces, thank you very much for doing your part for KRWG. You know, when it comes to updates, I like to roll drum roll and all that good stuff, you know, pomp and circumstance. We're $150 away from reaching our goal for this hour, $150. That is one call at 120, another call at 60 will help us surpass the goal, or one call at 150. However you decide you want to do it, your support does make a difference today on KRWG's Gardening Confidential. Do your part. You've been meaning to do it. We started out the drive on Monday, KC, and a lot of people put it off. Well, now is the time to step up and make a difference.
Yeah, it's the final day of our spring membership drive, so we have some ground to cover here. It's been a wonderful week, but we certainly have a ways to go. How much left, Edmundo, at this point until we reach that $110,000 goal?
$5,000 exactly.
Wow.
$5,000. So, you know, it would be wonderful if we get one person saying, you know what, here's the $5,000, you know, let's make the goal. But again, it's the power of numbers, the power of numbers. One person calling in and donating $1,000, $83 a month, and joining the Auto Vista Pioneer will help us really whittle down at the goal of $5,000. But again, each donation makes a difference. Whether you contribute $60, $120, or $365, your donation today for The Gardening Confidential will let us know that this are the kind of shows that you value on KRWG. It's a way to speak up and say, yes, bring on Jeff Anderson twice a year. Or dare I say, Jeff, bring him on for three times a year, four times a year. We're just going to bring you on as many times as it takes to get the gardening questions answered. But again, Casey, $150 away from reaching our goal for the Gardening Confidential.
It's really exciting. It's been, I mean, this week has, Jake has been here every day this week from 5:30 in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. The dedication of this staff is really something that, you don't necessarily notice unless you're here, unless you're inside the building, really seeing all of the hard work that the staff puts into the product that they bring the listeners each and every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anthony Moreno, Morning Edition, he's in super early every day, and he goes from that to doing work for KRWG-TV, putting together the Your Legislators programs and newsmakers, and doing this series on the new legislation passed in the special session by the New Mexico legislature to legalize recreational marijuana. So, Jeff, I'm sure that probably by this fall gardening, or well, I guess it'll be next spring's Gardening Confidential, where you might be getting some more questions about growing those types of plants as well.
Yeah, he's ready for it. He just gave us a double thumbs up. Again, we're wrapping up the show, 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794. We're so close, Casey, $150. I can feel it. I can feel that somebody's going to step up and say, here I am. I value this service, KRWG Public Media, 888-922-5794, 888-922-5794, or give online at krwg.org.
You know, we're embarking on the weekend here, and there's such a great variety of programming all weekend long. So be sure to keep KRWG on, where you're taking all these tips that you got today from Jeff and working out in the garden this weekend. Just keep us on all weekend long and enjoy that wonderful variety of programming. And enjoy Intermezzo by Request coming up next. It's going to be a big day for Leora Zeitlin, and it's going to be a great day for KRWG Public Media. Thank you for joining us today for the Spring Gardening Confidential, made possible by Oregon Mountain Solar and Sierra Vista Growers. And NPR News is coming up next, and I'll see you back here at 4 o'clock for All Things Considered in the final part of our drive.